views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm Debbie Pokornik, and as your host, I am tasked with the awesome job of sharing information that can help you realign with your vibrant, powerful self so that you can fully enjoy the life you've come here to live. Today, I am speaking with a wonderful woman named Carrie Hummingbird, who I actually met quite recently. And I was just really instantly pulled into her beautiful energy and openness to life. And so as we talked, it really became apparent that we had a lot in common beyond our red curly locks. And I just knew that I had to share her with you. So let me tell you just a little bit about her so we can get started. Carrie Hummingbird is a soul guide who mentors women through difficult life transitions by helping them to remember their essence and align their lives to it. Her award-winning memoir, Awakening to Me, One Woman's Journey to Self-Love, reveals in vulnerable truth her process of reclaiming life after divorce. She is certified in many things, including energy medicine by the Four Winds Light Body School, as a spiritual coach by the Artist of the Spirit Coach Training Program, as a firewalk instructor by Sundor, that is so cool, and as a warrior goddess facilitator. I just love all those titles. She is the 2017 president of the Austin chapter of the National Association of Professional Women. And Carrie has over 20 years of experience in leading by inspiration and a very special passion for empowering women. So today, Carrie's here to talk about leading by example, by living authentically, which, as you will see, is connected to her discovering her life purpose after leaving her 20-year marriage. And also, I think, connected to her having a strong desire to teach her kids how to build inner strength and speak their truth. Carrie, welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom community.
Thank you so much, Debbie. I'm really grateful to be here, grateful that you invited me to come on your show, and I look forward to our conversation today.
Oh, me too. Me too. So I already mentioned that you are divorced. That has come up a couple times. And I thought maybe we should start by just going there right away that, you know, many, many women are afraid about how divorce might uproot their kids and those kinds of pieces. So how did you make that very difficult choice?
Well, that was a really challenging decision to make, as I'm sure your audience understands. The last thing we want to do as parents is create an unstable environment for our kids or make choices that are going to negatively impact them. And I spent a lot of years, I mean, let's say about 20, working on that relationship. So we were, you know, I was in individual counseling almost right from the beginning. We were in couples counseling. We were in couples counseling for years throughout our marriage, just trying to figure out how to make it work between the two of us. And, you know, near the end, it just became clear that was not working for me. And there were a lot of forces driving me into more and more sort of erratic behavior. You know, it's sort of like if the a Coke can, and you shake it up, and then what happens when you start to let off some of the pressure by opening the lid?
Oh, right. That's a great visual.
Yeah, and I think that is what many of us experience midlife is, you know, we sort of go along with the status quo. We go along with what is expected of us from our parents or our societies or how we were just instructed life was, and we do our best. And at some point, the tension is so great between that image of perfection, that society's domestication of how we should be, mm-hmm. and the truth of our being that we're squashing with every step because it doesn't fit what we're being told.
Right.
And, you know, that truth eventually is like that Coke can.
mm-hmm.
And, it, you know, a lot of anger, resentment, things that, you know, I was never allowed to feel in my youth and then subsequently didn't allow myself to feel or express as a young person and into when I finally had children. And the interesting thing that happened was that once I had a child, I entered a new phase of life. I entered this, I awakened this part of me that was a mother.
Right.
I awakened this, you know, sacred power within. And that sacred power within didn't really jive too well with the way my marriage was structured or the expectations that were on me.
Right. Do you mind my asking how old your kids were when you divorced?
Yeah. So my older son was going into sixth grade mm-hmm. and my younger son is 3 years behind. So he was going into third grade.
So that Coke can had a lot of time to build up pressure.
Oh yeah.
Right. If all of that was going on for you. So what were the ways that you used your strengths as a mother to help your kids adjust?
So this was a real big process because as this part of me is awakening, that's part of me that's never been awoken before, you know, the birth of a child awakens that matron energy, that mother energy, that deep wise woman. Mm-hmm. And as she started waking up, she started disagreeing with a lot of things that my husband was saying.
Yes, I can understand that.
And, you know, and the interesting thing was that we never really did see eye to eye, but when we had kids, we really knew how much we were not seeing eye to eye. And it was interesting, as often happens with relationships formed before you're 30, that relationship dynamic was patterned after my parents. So my ex-husband was actually really a lot like my mother in terms of, you know, sort of a very negative outlook and control, like how you parent children is through control, right. You know, by making them do things, by forcing, by, you know, setting these high expectations and, you know, by discipline and all of these things, which, you know, in right relationship have a place. But I really felt a lot of that was not working. And my older son was really obvious to me it wasn't working for him. When he was in preschool at this really expensive private school we had him enrolled in California, and he literally would put his head on the desk mm-hmm. and just give up.
Mm.
Even going to the principal's office and just, you know, he wouldn't even talk to the principal. He would just give up.
Right.
And my mother's heart was like, something's not right here. This isn't working. And I had to start advocating not only for my son, but the interesting thing was that as I was advocating for my son, I was really advocating for myself, for my yes. own truth.
Yes. Isn't that beautiful? I just have to take a moment because we talk about mirroring. We talk about people coming into our lives and providing us with that opportunity to see the things that we need to do to further develop. And yet, most of us still have that picture that, you know, our kids come into this world and we're here to guide them and we need to do all this. And we forget that there's a possibility that they're teaching us. And it's not even just a possibility. They are here teaching us partly what we need to develop. So I love that. I love what you just shared.
And so, you know, the process of becoming a mother really became the process of coming home to myself and starting to make choices for my life based on my inner guidance. And I think, you know, there's what I've noticed is there's not a lot of support in our society for a woman's intuition, so to speak, that oftentimes gets ridiculed or downplayed, you know, if it doesn't match with some sort of logical rendition of the world.
Mm-hmm.
you know,
if you can't prove it, if there's no proof,
it doesn't exist.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Or I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. I'm just excited. So I do want to dive deeper into that. Did you have something more you wanted to add there though?
Yeah. So that is really the journey I've been on, is learning to trust that inner voice, learning to trust myself to know what kind of action is right from a place of inner discernment, not from a place of what everyone around me is saying I should do, or this is how it's done, or this is how it works, but from my own inner guidance and my own knowing. And, nice. You know, the biggest example of this, again, is my older son, who really just needed to learn in a different way. And the interesting thing is that, you know, he would often, ironically enough, have conflict with certain teachers who were resembling his dad, you know, so it's more of a controlling kind of teacher would elicit this sort of non-compliance out of my son. Mm-hmm. And what ended up happening, which was really interesting along the journey, is that I started to listen to my son and I would say, okay, what's really going on? What's happening for you? And he would tell me his version. Okay. And I said to my son in high school, I remember I had to go in a couple years ago and talk to the teachers. He was having a real challenge with one of the teachers. And I said, okay, what's really going on, sweetheart? What is really happening for you? And he laid it out for me. He said, this, 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 and this, and this is why I'm having trouble learning. I said, okay. So I went to bat for him. Mm-hmm. I went to school and I went to bat for him. I said, this is what my son is saying. I believe him. If we get him a new teacher, he's going to get an A. And they resisted me. They said, oh, we don't do things that way. And the whole bureaucratic institutional mechanism, the problem must be with the child. And I said, no, the problem's not with him. This is what the problem is. I believe him. He needs another teacher. Hmm. And lo and behold, second semester, they got him a new teacher. He had A's.
Hmm. Wow. It's wonderful that you listened, that you heard him, and that you were willing to go to bat for him. I can certainly relate to that one. With my youngest, I had to go in and tell the grade one teacher that he was really struggling with the amount she was yelling, that he doesn't do well with yelling. Mm-hmm. And she yelled a lot. It's a French school, a French immersion school. And I don't mean to suggest that French people are louder, but she was. and so she often sounded like she was yelling at a person, and my son would just shut down in that environment. So I love when I hear that parents are willing to hear their child's side of it and to say, you know, is this okay? Is this something that he needs to learn from? Is there a way I can help support him in that? Or is this one of those times when I actually need to go and, you know, go to the school, go to bat for him and see if I can make some changes and make things happen, because ultimately that is part of my job as a mom, is to be an advocate.
And I really want to make the point too, that it goes even deeper, because in this case, and in many cases, I suspect out there, my son's dad was saying things to him like, oh, you're just lazy. You just don't want to do the work. This is just you not showing up. You know, a lot of that talk was what was going on behind the scenes. And so me standing up for my son was somebody in his life believing him for once.
Yes.
Somebody in his life believing what he's saying and listening to him. That lesson, that goes so far beyond. It goes to the very core of the human being, knowing that he is heard, he is loved, he is believed, he is trusted.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And can stop him from tuning out to all of his own information, right? That's coming to him, because when you're taught that you shouldn't listen to yourself, that you are just lazy or wrong or broken or whatever, it really can stop you. This all to me comes back to that whole, the instinctual side of us, but more than that, that inner wisdom, that inner knowing, intuition, that connection with our higher self, which I know you have a different name for. What do you call it? Your soul essence?
Yeah, I like calling it essence.
Yes.
Yeah, connection to that which is bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing I think is really lacking, is an awareness of that connection. The connection is always there. It's just that we focus on the personality. You know, we focus on the third dimensional reality, the personality, and we keep ourselves small that way. We keep ourselves, you know, powerless in many ways. When we start to open to that, we do know that we do have intuition, that we are all connected to something bigger than us, that it's speaking to us through our heart, through our womb as a woman. When we open to that power and we claim it and we act from it, we start to upset the apple cart.
Mm-hmm. We scare a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Sure.
Yeah. And we open up a lot of information that is always present, always there, but that many people are living in a shallow sort of existence or sort of swimming on the shallow end of the pool. Well, there's a whole deep end of the pool with tons of information and resource. And if we shift ourselves over to that deeper end, you know, we guide our lives from a whole new place. And that's essentially the transformation that I made.
Mm-hmm. And the experience becomes so much more fun, right?
It
going
is.
Off of that autopilot and more into actually living life fully awake. So that kind of answers the idea of what helped you to get through this difficult life transition, but I'm sure there's much more to it than that. Is there anything else you'd like to share on that?
I would think that the key components to my ability to make this transition were a couple of things. One thing was learning how to open to spirit, learning how to open to guidance from my essence. That was critical. And opening to have evidence that the universe is conspiring to help me grow. There's lots of ways of doing that. So that was key. And then another thing that was really key was really learning from my mentor, Heather Ashimara, who works with women. And that's part of the Warrior Goddess program that I'm certified in, to help reawaken our intuition, to help us learn to trust ourselves again. And the community support is big. So having a supportive community of like-minded women who are stepping into their power, who are exploring this vulnerability, and to have a community of people that you can talk to about that, because there's lots of places and communities in this world that don't embrace using your intuition or meditating or connecting to spirit. There's, you know, there's sort of some fear around that. Mm-hmm. And so to have a community that lets you explore that area and help you guide you along that process is really important.
Absolutely. Now, you mentioned there that you had to start by opening yourself up to spirit. Can you give a tip or something that you did that really helped you to start this process? Because if somebody isn't already kind of living the life that you and I are living, it's hard, right? Where do you start? How do you do things differently? So would you happen to have a little tip or idea that you could share?
I do. I have a couple of things. So the first thing is grounding. Grounding is so important. And I think a lot of us don't do it. So to get outside and get by a tree, and even with your back against a tree, to just imagine that your roots are getting sent down into the earth alongside the tree, and that anything heavy can go down into the earth, and then you can pull up vitality and energy through the earth, through your roots, just like the tree does. And the amazing thing about trees is that they do that automatically.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to do it. And so if you sit next to a tree, it will just automatically instruct your body how to do it. So it's a no-brainer. It's super easy. And that connects you to something bigger than you.
Nice.
Another thing is to create a game. So my first teacher was Gary Starnes, who had a program called Spirit Paths, which is a great program. And his first game that he played with us, he said, okay, we're going to do morning messenger. So every morning you get up and you go outside and you open to a messenger to bring you a message from spirit. And how does spirit operate? Well, through things that are living. So there could be a butterfly that lands on your finger, or you could see a lizard out of nowhere, or a hawk could fly overhead. And you take that as a sign and you go and look it up and see, what does that mean? And that starts the game.
Nice. I love that. I have a little book of animal spirit guides and messages and such, and I love to look it up because obviously if there's a million bees flying around, that might not be a message for you. But if, you know, you don't see a lot of bees and all of a sudden one comes and flies right by you and a few minutes later another one does, I always think, okay, then that's a message. That's something different. It doesn't usually happen for me. And then I go look it up and there'll be a little message about the bee, the busy bee, and what it means. So I love that. Now, of course, those messages don't have to be animals or insects, right? They can be a billboard or a license plate or whatever, right?
Yeah, it could be anything that you recognize as a message. And that's where you start to really test the muscle of your intuition. Like, is this for me? Oh, I feel it. And it's usually a feeling like, yes, ooh, that's for me. Yes. I want to know what that means.
Yes. Oh, nice. I know for myself, going back to the animals, I would often, you know, I live out in the country. And so I might see four or five different things in one day. And I think, okay, are all those messages for me? So I'd go home and look them up. And I could feel the ones, like you say, I could feel those ones that were meant for me. And in fact, they all were, but some were much stronger. They just spoke right to me. And often it was things like, you need to remember to have fun, to get the work done, but have fun while you're getting the work done. And that will just make it so much easier. And so having my own business, that is something I need reminding of a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful. So do you have maybe a piece of advice or something that you would give to someone, a woman who's going through a similar transition, or maybe even just thinking about that transition, or?
Yeah. So I think right before I left my ex-husband, I had a sign and it was the end of the rope. So, you know, I visualized it. I just saw it in my mind's eye, almost as if I was holding the knotted end of a ship rope. And then it just flew out of my hand. And I was all of a sudden like, oh, that's the end of the rope. Okay. And I knew what it meant. You know, for me, it made perfect sense. That was just how my higher self was talking to me. It's like, okay, that's the end of the rope. We're done with this. It's time to move on. And to really heed those signals and the way to heed those signals is through action. So it's nice to think about things, but if you notice when you get a big clue and then you don't act on it, that creates a lot of stagnation. So the trick is to act on it, to take an action. And so it could even be a small action like, okay, I need to leave. It could be looking up to see, well, where could I live? I'm opening to what could I afford? How could I do this? And to trust your intuition that you are being led in the right direction. And it's not an easy transition to make. I don't want anybody to think that was easy to do. But it was, whenever you're doing the right thing for you, for your next level of your life, things will unfold to support you in that process as you take the committed steps towards it.
Right. Oh, that's beautiful. I love it. So we are actually coming to the end of our time together. It was so wonderful getting to chat with you today. And I love what you've shared. I hope people will take an opportunity to maybe go back and listen a few times and try some of the different tips and ideas and thinking, you know, those pieces through. Now, I believe that you have a 21-day challenge for women to catalyze their life. And so if you would like to share anything about that, we just have a couple minutes left. And I will put the link up on both my blog and on the Transformation Talk Radio page. So you don't necessarily need to share the link. But if you'd like to say a little bit about that and then maybe close off by sharing one final little nugget of wisdom.
Awesome. Yes. So the 21-day challenge to catalyze your life incorporates a lot of the things that I had to explore in my journey to finding myself. And it's a journey that took me about 6 years. And so I'm sharing a lot of those nuggets in 21 days. So it can be a little overwhelming, but it's a great jumpstart to making a transition in your life and to exploring whether or not you need to make a transition in your life. And it's free from my website. And I think I offer in there as well a link to my memoir, which is Awakening to Me, which tells the full story of my journey from, you know, from that place of disconnection, of not knowing who I was, to knowing that I am safe and held and loved and having regular access to my high self, my essence, my soul place.
Nice. And so your website is carriehummingbird.com. And like I say, that will be up on my site. So thank you once again, Carrie. Thank you so much to our listeners. Oh, you're so welcome. It's just a pleasure having you here with us today. So with much respect for you and the journey that you're on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her guest, Carrie Hummingbird, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant, Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant, Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a break-free parenting tip. The main idea behind using time out is to give the parent a plan to follow that will help her stay calm, controlled, and consistent when her child misbehaves. If you find that you get angry when using time out, it might not be the best tool for you. Before using a time out, you need to tell your child what it's about, how it will work, what to expect from both you and your child, and why you're doing it. In deciding on these elements of the time out, you should take into consideration the age and attention span of your child. The following is one example of how you can present a timeout concept. Mommy has a new plan to help us work like a team. It's called timeout, and it means that if you aren't listening to me or you do something you know you're not supposed to do, you're going to sit by yourself on the chair in the hallway. If you sit quietly, I'll call you after 2 minutes and you can come back and then try again. I really want to help us learn so that we aren't fighting with each other. Now, once you've decided to use timeout and explained it to your child, use it. Do not threaten it, as that always weakens its effect, and it also really isn't healthy to threaten your child. Use a warning system if you want. I used to use the 1-2-3 magic. That's one, that's two, that's a timeout. But if you're going to do that, be very consistent in its use and don't buy into that moment where your child decides to mimic you and say back, that's one. Just go right to that's two and just don't turn it into a game. Be fair and recognize that if timeout works with your child, it's because he likes being with you or he enjoys a certain activity. So if you start nitpicking at everything he does and using timeout to reinforce every command, he's going to stop enjoying your company and he's going to start pushing every button he can. If you put your child in timeout, wait until he's relatively quiet before starting the clock. Sobbing quietly is okay, but if he's calling you, asking to come out, telling you how angry he is, or trying to explain his behavior, just quietly, if you need to say anything, say, I'll start the timer when you're quiet. Remind him only once that he's in timeout. Otherwise, ignore him until he's quiet and then start the clock. When the timeout is over, your child can return to the activity and try again to get it right. If you've asked him to do something like, say, pick up his toys and he refused and that's why he got a timeout, get him to come now and do it. Timeout should not be an excuse to get out of undesirable work unless you are willing to set it up that way in advance. So maybe you say, I can see you're too tired to do this. You take a timeout while I pick up your toys. I'll call you when I'm done, but it might take me a little while. As a discipline tool, timeouts are most effective when they are timed events. If you allow the child to come back on his own schedule, he's not learning that sometimes he has to listen to a higher authority. You have to decide how you feel about that. If, on the other hand, the timeout is being used to regain self-control, it's actually better to have the child determine when he can return to the group. If he comes back early and gets angry again right away, put a timed piece in place. If your child trashes his room in a timeout, have him clean it up later, as much as possible anyway, and either move the timeout location to an empty space or use a different tool. Another option is to remove most of the things from his bedroom and return them only after he has shown you he can be respectful in timeout. One final option is to overlook the mess, except if it's dangerous, and simply carry on. Timeout is not a tool for every parent. And I really think that it's misunderstood by many. If you can be calm, if you can be consistent, if you can recognize that the whole idea behind this is to help your child learn self-control and learn when they need to listen, then this can be a tool that works wonders.